This week, February 10th, 2015, on The Digital Story. New from Olympus, the OMD EM5 Mark II. And guess what surfaced from Apple? Photos for OS X. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Well, when it rains, it pours. And not only here in Northern California, yes, we've got some rain this week. I'm very excited about that. But also in the world of photography news. And we had two big announcements last week, and then a handful of smaller ones. Now, in this week's show, we're going to focus on the two biggies, and I'll try to catch up with some of the smaller stuff in future editions of The Digital Story. But today, we're going to focus on the new camera from Olympus, and we're going to talk about photos for OS X. These are two things that I think are of interest to a lot of our listeners, and we're going to start out with the Olympus camera. Olympus announces the OMD EM5 Mark II. I got to see this camera when I was in Las Vegas for CES. Olympus was kind enough to have me in an NDA meeting where we spent an hour covering the Mark II and the new lens, which also looks quite good, and a few of the other goodies. So I actually got to hold the camera, play with the grip, you know, all that kind of stuff. Now, it was a pre-production model, but it was functional and it looked really good. And I think that's where I'm going to start with the EM5 Mark II, is with its looks. One of the things that I like that Olympus did with this camera is that they stayed true to the design aesthetic of the original EM5. Now, this is the camera that a lot of us fell in love with who are now shooting Micro Four Thirds. Yes, I liked the pen cameras. I thought they were really cool. And the very first one, which I still have, I think is just a classic body design. But the thing that really got me going is when they came out with the OMD EM5. Now, at the time, of course, I didn't understand the whole naming convention. Is it an OMD? You know, OM being the original film version, D added for digital. Is it an EM5? I mean, why are you doing both? Well, now, of course, that we have the EM1 and the EM10, we get to see what their vision was. At the time, though, I have to tell you, it just felt like a lot of letters to me. That at first I was going, okay, where's the hyphen goes? E hyphen, you know, that whole thing there. So they stayed true to the design aesthetic of this camera. And in fact, I think they actually improved on the original EM5 in terms of its looks. The front of it has that same classic look. But what they did was it's a little bit more chiseled, and especially you notice it in the hand grip. All the knobs are super high quality. They added a PC contact on one side, which I thought was pretty cool. And I mean PC as in for flash, so that you could use, you know, old manual flash cords. And then on top, the top deck is really cleaned up, I think. It looks very good. The mode dial is over there on the left side. The on-off switch is on the left side on top with the mode dial. Then they have a bunch of function buttons. Function 1, 2, 3, and 4. And some of them have dual purposes. For example, function 4 is labeled as an HDR button also, but I'm assuming that you can reprogram that as you can almost every button on any of the OMDs. And then in the back, this is where it really gets sweet. I think what happened on the top deck was driven by what's going on in the back of the camera, because they have a fully articulated LCD 3-inch touchscreen, and it looks fantastic. I saw the imagery on it. It's beautiful. It's a high resolution. And there's a couple things that I like about fully articulated screens. One is, yes, it's great that you can swing them out and basically have them at any viewing angle. I have that with the Canon 70D, and I just think it's the coolest thing in the world. But the other benefit is that when you're not using the camera or you don't want to see the LCD, you can fold it in so the back of the LCD is facing out. So if you are carrying the camera around your neck, you're not scratching the LCD screen. And that is a feature of articulated screens that I just think is the coolest thing. So before I get too far down this road, let me just give you the basic specs. I'm sure you've already read them once or twice. So the technical highlights include the 40 megapixel high resolution shot mode, which I'm going to talk about, a 1 million dot rear variable angle 3-inch touchscreen, a 2.36 million dot high definition electronic viewfinder that has 100% field of view, adaptive brightness technology that automatically adjusts the backlight brightness in accordance with the ambient lighting, a top mechanical shutter speed of 1/8,000th of a second, 81-point fast autofocusing, splash-proof construction, 1080p video up to 60 frames a second, and silent mode, which is fantastic for street shooters. So, you know, the core camera here has a really nice specification. Now, it is a 16-megapixel live MOS sensor. It has a TruePic 7 processor. And even though the sensor megapixel count is the same, it's a redesigned sensor. So they have done some improvements there. Going back to the LCD, one of the things that they emphasized in my meeting with Olympus was that they want this to be, in addition to a great still camera, stills photos, they also want it to be top-end video camera. And they put a lot of work into that. And part of that, of course, is the articulated LCD screen. Now you have a mic jack built right into the camera itself. So you don't need any sort of external accessory to plug a mic in. And then if you get the hand grip, the accessory hand grip, it has a headphone jack built into it. And they did something wonderful with the hand grip that I just love. So it is a two-part grip, power grip, as we had with the original EM5. So it has the light piece, that's the grip. And then there's a separate battery holder that makes the grip even bigger, and that gives you that extra battery, that dual battery function. That's so nice, and that you can set in the menu so that the camera draws from the grip battery first, because that's the easy one to change. That is the same as before, except that the simple grip now has the headphone monitoring jack built into it, which I just love. And you can buy the simple grip separately. And then if you have the power grip from before, from the original EM5, I guess Mark 1, we'll say, that power grip works with the new simple grip. Existing EM5 owners that bought the power grip before only have to buy the simple piece, the cheaper piece, because they can use the piece they already have to work with it. And I think that's just fantastic. Now, this all adds up to another nicety if you're recording video, because now you can record the audio, and you can monitor the audio, and you have two batteries, and you have an articulated LCD screen that you can, you know, angle just about any way that you want. And then you have a beefed up movie mode with additional controls in the menu system for both audio and video. Now, they didn't go to 4K video on this because, in their own words, they said, when we do 4K video, it has to be outstanding. We can do 1080p video right now, and it is outstanding. We feel it's best in class. One of the reasons why they feel it's best in class is because they beefed up the image stabilization system, which was already amazing, the 5-axis sensor-based image stabilization system, now is beefed up even more. And of course, they show movies captured with this camera, handheld, with action, moving, all that sort of stuff. And I mean the camera moving without a steady cam, without a tripod, without any of that, in this beautiful, still video without the jitters because of the 5-axis image stabilization built into the camera and working with practically any lens that you put on it. So this all adds up to a fantastic video camera. They've made some very nice improvements. Now, again, if you're like me, you don't shoot video as much as you shoot stills. However, there are times when I have to shoot video, and there's probably times when you have to shoot video. You don't have to have a different camera. You don't have to have a bunch of accessories. Just use what you have and go from there. And that, I think, is a very nice improvement. That being said, there's a biggie for still photographers, and that is the 40 megapixel high resolution shot mode. This is so clever. This is such an Olympus thing that they did. So you're still using the 16 megapixel sensor that's built into the camera. But because they designed this clever sensor-based image stabilization system where the sensor actually can move in order to counteract movement in the camera, they said, well, we can use that to create this 40 megapixel high resolution shot. So what they do is it actually takes 8 shots in a second, and it moves the sensor half a pixel around for each shot. Then it analyzes that information, and then 2 seconds later, it produces a 40 megapixel shot. It can do it with a JPEG, and it can do it with a RAW, and it is really impressive, the resolution. Now, we've already seen online people testing this out, Imaging Resource, DP Review. They've all had a whack at testing this, and they're usually putting it up against a Nikon D810 or something like that, a 36 megapixel camera. And the Olympus EM5 Mark II is performing beautifully. Now, of course, the catch is this is not for moving subjects. You have to have the camera on a tripod. It has to be very steady during capture. You want to use a high resolution lens, a high quality lens. The bottom line is, if you're doing landscape photography, if you're doing product photography, doing things like that where people aren't running around on a soccer field, you can use this 40 megapixel high resolution shot mode and produce an image that goes way beyond anything that we've been able to do with a Micro Four Thirds camera in the past. I think it's super exciting. I think it's very clever. And most importantly, it works. Now, there's a few little things you should know about it. So I'm just going to read you the paragraph that I wrote about this, the second paragraph. A tripod is required to steady the camera while the EM5 Mark II records the 8 shots it needs over a period of 1 second. Another 2 seconds are needed to compile the final photograph. Images can be captured up to f8, 5.6, f4, all the way up to f8, with a shutter speed of 8 seconds or less. So you can't do a 16-second exposure, but you can do 8 seconds, 4 seconds, all the way down, you know, 1/30th of a second, all of those all the way up to 8 seconds, and a sensitivity of ISO 1600 or below. So 1600, 800, 400, 200, etc. Given those parameters, you can use this mode and capture it in JPEG or RAW files. Fantastic addition, a big goodie for still photographers. So you have a big win for video shooting, and you have a big win for still photography. As far as connectivity goes, we finally have Wi-Fi in the EM5, which is very important. I think almost all of us that have Wi-Fi enabled cameras have a hard time going back to cameras that aren't Wi-Fi enabled. So we have that. So you have remote shooting, you have image sharing, use the Olympus Image Share app with the built-in Wi-Fi. You can also use this to remote control the camera, to start and stop movie recording, you know, all that good kind of stuff. Now, another goodie that they added from the EM1 is that we also have tethered shooting with the EM5 Mark II. And that means that it works now with the Olympus Capture application. If you've played with it at all with the EM1, you know how cool the tethered shooting is, especially when you're doing studio work and you want to have people reviewing the images right as you shoot them on the screen, or you want to see them on a nice big screen to make sure that you got that product shot just right. That is supported. And we also have the keystoning control with the EM5 that we have in the EM1. So, I mean, this camera is packed. It's beautiful. It's got a ton of features. It's got some cutting edge stuff. It does stills and video equally well. The control system on the outside, like we have with the EM1, even including the mode 1 and 2 switch that allows us to reprogram all those function buttons with just a flick of a switch. It has the whole enchilada, as we like to say. The camera is available for pre-order right now as I do this podcast for $1,099, $1,100 for the body only. They have both black and then they have the silver model. I ordered it right away because I had seen the camera in Las Vegas, and the minute it was available for pre-order on B&H that night, actually, that I made the story go live, the minute the embargo went off, I published my stories, and then I went over to B&H. I knew they'd have it in the catalog right away and pre-ordered on B&H. So as I get a chance to shoot with it, I'll write more about it. So that's a nice brief overview of the latest from Olympus, the OMD EM5 Mark II. I love the improvements and I can't wait to start shooting with it. Okay, let's switch gears. We'll go from capture, that cool new camera from Olympus, to post-processing and image management. So I had just done a post early last week, about should we be worried about the delay of photos for OS 10, because Tim Cook had mentioned the quarterly financial meeting that we weren't going to see photos until April. Should I be concerned about this? Does it mean that they're not as serious about the app? Does it mean they're refining it and they want to make it better and they need more time? What does it mean? So I basically wrote, what does this mean article? No sooner than I published that article. And my bottom line on this article was that, you know, my gut feeling is that they were making it better. No sooner than I published that article, then with the latest developer build of OS 10 Yosemite, Apple included photos. So they put it in the developer build and really started to show us what they're thinking about for this application. Since that's happened, I have a developer's, basically reviewer's copy of the app, so I got a lot of technical information, and I've had a chance to talk with Apple on the phone about the application and get some clarification on a few points after I read the developer's review guide. I thought I'd share kind of those broad brush strokes with you right now, so we all can start thinking about what we're going to do, especially Aperture and iPhoto users, and start making plans based on information that is from Apple, not speculation. The vision is, at least right now, that Photos for Mac OS X is more of a replacement for iPhoto than Aperture. This is a key point. And I asked them directly about this, and I thought they gave me a pretty honest answer. And if you look at the webpage on Apple.com, this becomes pretty clear. The streamline editing tools, the streamline file management, the lack of adjustment brushes like we're used to, no plugins at the moment. There's only sharing plugins, but no editing plugins, all that sort of stuff really leans towards the iPhoto user than the Aperture user. And they don't really see it. Apple doesn't really see this app as an Aperture replacement. I asked them, I go, well, okay, then what do we say to the Aperture user? And basically, Apple's response is that hardcore Aperture users that want to move away from Aperture right now, even though it works fine on Yosemite, then really need to look at other applications. They would like you to look at Photos. They would like you to play with it. Your Aperture library will migrate to Photos and it will work fine. But of course, you're stepping down in terms of functionality, and they realize, I mean, a lot of them are using Aperture too for their personal photo library. So they understand what's going on here, people on the developer team. So a lot of them realize that you might want to look elsewhere. Well, this is the first time I think I've really had an official statement about this, that Photos is more of an iPhoto replacement than an Aperture replacement. Now, something that I had wrong, and I got clarification on this, is that Photos for Mac OS X, as it's released in April, will not have the open architecture that even Photos for iOS has. I'm not sure how I got this wrong. Somewhere along the line, I either heard something, because I don't think I made it up. At any rate, as it comes out, Photos for Mac OS X will not have that open architecture where third-party developers can develop, you know, enhance its functionality through an open door, through an official open door. That won't be there in the beginning. The only door that will be open in the beginning is for sharing. So plugins for sharing to social networks and things like that, that's open. But nothing else at the moment is planned to be open with Photos. Now, one thing that I was concerned about when I was reading the documentation and looking online was its ability to handle multiple libraries, Photos for OS X. And so I asked specifically about the multiple libraries functionality. And we got good news here. So the good news is that Photos for OS X will handle multiple libraries much in the same way that Aperture and iPhoto right now do, which is basically if you hold down the Option key on launch, you can choose the library that you want to use. So you can maintain multiple Photos libraries. However, there will be one library that you designate as like the special library. And that library is the one that will be shared through iCloud on all your other Macs and iOS devices. So you will have one library that works with iCloud and only one library that can work with iCloud, but you can have multiple libraries that are standalone pieces. The library that works with iCloud will be a fully iCloud enabled library. Now, it won't show up in iCloud Drive, for instance, the way that your Pages documents do if you have iCloud Drive enabled. It won't show up there, but it is definitely on iCloud. So that means that if you're not a real heavy shooter, that you can have all of your images live in this special library that will go up onto iCloud that will be available on all your iOS devices and all your other Macs that are Yosemite or newer. If you do editing on one of those devices to an image, then those edits will be reflected on the other devices as fast as iCloud's doing that. A lot of times it's almost instantaneous. Sometimes there's a slight delay. So that's the way that works. So you'll have one special library that is your iCloud-enabled library, but you can still have multiple libraries for specific project needs that you want to store on hard drives, all that kind of stuff, just like we've been doing with Aperture and iPhoto to date. So since this is more of an iPhoto replacement than an Aperture replacement, I asked, what should iPhoto users get excited about? And there are a few things here that are noteworthy. First of all, this application, Photos for Mac OS X, is written from the ground up, brand new code, and it's fast. It's also built to handle large libraries. People are shooting more now than ever, plus they're doing panoramas, plus they're doing video, all this stuff. Photos for OS X is designed to handle large libraries and lots of content. They've also worked hard on the UI to make navigating as easy as possible. The editing tools are definitely a step up from iPhoto. They're designed in a way, and it's a little bit like Photos for iOS, that you have different levels of complexity. You can use the tools at the basic level, but yet they're very sophisticated under the hood, and they do a great job. If you are an intermediate user and you want to have some control, some modification over how these tools work, you can do that. And then if you're an advanced user and you really like using highlights and shadows and black points and all that, you can open up the sliders even more and have access to that. Now, one point that they really wanted to make was that even though Photos for Mac OS X looks like the iOS version, because they want to have that continuity across platforms in terms of how the UI works, even though it looks like that, this application is written for the Mac and it's more powerful and more sophisticated. The tools are more sophisticated than what you're going to see on an iOS device. And specifically, I asked about sharpening, because what I saw in Photos for Mac OS X is this sharpening as opposed to edge sharpening. Now, regular sharpening in Aputure or iPhoto as it exists now is just a one-pass sharpening, and it sharpens everything. And for the most part, most of us that are advanced users don't like regular sharpening because it'll increase noise in the continuous tone, stuff like that. It's just not as good. So I asked about that. The slider says sharpening. However, it is the three-pass edge sharpening. So that's not in Photos for iOS. It's not even in iPhoto. That's a perfect example of that. The slider appears simple. It appears to be, a simple image edit, but yet you're getting the latest knowledge applied to that in something that's quite sophisticated. I think to some degree that's even exciting for Aputure users if they experiment a bit with this and see how far they can go with the built-in tools. Now, one area that a lot of us are concerned about as we look at the preliminary version of Photos for OS 10 is the way that we rate our photos. We don't have flags and we don't have star rating. We have this thing called favorites, and that's it. And, you know, for me, that's a killer. I mean, I live and die by star ratings. They're so important to me. And so at first, you know, Apple's talking to me and saying, well, you know, it's not a total loss because, for instance, when you import your library, things that were star rated, those star ratings are translated into keywords. So you'll have a keyword that says 3 stars or 4 stars or 1 star, whatever. And that you can actually set up keyboard shortcuts to apply that keyword to an image. So you could hit like Command-1 and you apply the keyword 1 star to an image. And so then there's kind of a pregnant pause there where I go, you know, that doesn't really feel very Apple-like to me. And, there was some acknowledgement on the other end of the line there. And I honestly believe in my heart of hearts. Now, they never comment on future, changes that they're going to make or improvements or releases to an application. But in my heart of hearts, and you guys can hold me to this, I think we're going to see star ratings or something as good before too long in Photos for Mac OS 10. We might not see it on the very first release, but I have a feeling we're going to see it not too far down the line because this other approach is just nuts. It doesn't make any sense. So that was one of the things where I just had to smile and say, okay, all right. Just, you can't say it, but I know you guys are going to have to get to that. Just a few other little things, and then because we're going to come back to this when we actually have, photos in our hands. I'm just trying to give you a little preview and get you to start thinking about, what you may do with your own libraries. So where does that leave us? This just having this little taste right now of photos for Mac OS 10 that we have. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure right now what I'm going to do. Obviously, I'm very familiar with Lightroom, and that continues to roll along, and they're working on Lightroom 6. We're going to see some goodies there. I'm a big fan of DxO, and I love using Aputure right now in Yosemite, which is still my go-to tool. So my answer is I don't know what I'm going to do at the moment. I'm certainly going to look at photos. I'm going to play with it. I'm going to do a lynda.com title on photos, and we're going to push it. We're going to push it as far as we can push it, and we're going to keep it updated. We have built in to this title that I'm going to do for Lynda to update the title as the application updates. We actually have a system built in so that I can do that. So I'm going to be living with it a lot, not only personally, but professionally. And we're just going to keep talking about it along the way. Right now, I think we have enough information where you can start thinking about what you want to do with your Aputure or iPhoto library. I think if you're an iPhoto user, it's a no-brainer to go to Photos for Mac OS 10. I think it's a big improvement. Aputure users, they have a lot more consideration. I'm going to try to help you as we go along. And believe me, this will not be the last time we talk about Photos for Mac OS 10. Okay, let's address a little virtual camera club business. Once again, I seem to be running long, but we have such heady topics these days. The photo assignment for this month, for February, is the last one, and it's goodbye. That is the photo assignment. This will be our last photo assignment, and then we're going to evolve into something else. I guess there's a theme here, isn't there? But we are going to have this goodbye photo assignment for February 2015. And it is sponsored by SizzlePix. And SizzlePix is going to continue to be a sponsor of the site. And in fact, right now they've got this crazy President's Sale going. We're right in the middle of it. If you order one SizzlePix, you get 20% off. If you order two or more, you get 25% off the whole order. All you have to do is put in the comments field, TDS20 or The Digital Story 20 or The Digital Story 25 or TDS25, depending on what your order is. And they're going to knock it right off the top. This is a fantastic deal. If you've been procrastinating on getting a SizzlePix, I would definitely take advantage of this. This is probably going to be one of the better sales that you see from them. And then the folks at Red River Paper, which I'm knee-deep in right now. I think I said that last week, too, because I'm creating a fine art card set that's going in the Nimble Photographer store called Classic Cars of Cuba. And I have some real beautiful shots that are going on fine art note cards. There's going to be a set of five of them for $19.95. They're in the store right now. You can pre-order. We're actually going to start shipping in March, but you can pre-order right now. And for those who pre-order, they will get two versions of the shot that was picked up on Flickr Explore and has gotten a lot of nice chatter, which is called Red Car, Two People, Shot in Havana. I don't know if you've seen the shot yet, but it's on the Digital Story, and it's definitely on the Nimble Photographer in the store when you order the cards. So those that pre-order the card set will get two cards of that, and the second one will be signed by me. So the thinking is, of course, that you have a complete set of cards that you can give away, share with others, all that sort of stuff. I mean, they look so nice. They're frameable. They're 5x7. Fine art cards. They include the envelopes. And then you'll have one card to keep for you that's assigned a version of the card. And I tell you, as we go on and we make the movie about Cuba, and there's some other projects in the work about Cuba and all that, having a signed card from that first trip, probably not a bad idea. Anyway, so that's all in the nimblephotographer.com store. Just go over there, hit shop, and you'll see it right there in with all the other goodies. All right, I have more to talk about, but I don't have any more time, so we're going to close it off right here, and we'll pick up next week. Lots of great topics for next time. Can't wait to catch up with you again next week. Hope you enjoyed this week's show. Until next time, think about that camera. But I tell you, if you're an Olympus shooter, that EM5 Mark II, I'm excited about it. And then, of course, lots to think about with photos for Mac OS X for those of you that have been using Aperture iPhoto. All right. Until next time, have a great week. Bye-bye now.